Well, I have a one string thing that I've been really seeing and going through in my life, and at Calvary Chapel Waiawa, we've been talking about it, and it's the gospel community. It's God's church, God's people. And today, more than ever, as we look at what's happening in our country, as we look around the world, more than ever, we need to see a bigger picture, a much bigger picture of who we are in Christ. More than just a local body, but connected to believers all over the world and connected to believers right here on this island to make a difference for Jesus Christ on this island, on Oahu, you know, which will make a difference on all the islands in the state of Hawaii. And that we need to grow in this vision that we have, really, seriously, as God's church. And so tonight, as I present this to you, I hope some of it will be very familiar, but I hope it will encourage you and grow you in your own heart, to widen your heart, to let your heart be broken open, and let God just do a real work there to really care about His gospel community. And so this message is called, What is a Gospel Community? And before I even start it, I want to pray, but I also want to give a shout out to the guys in Halava. There's a bunch of guys in Halava that listen to you guys every Sunday night. You know, I know that for a fact because we go in and they talk about it. Yeah, I heard Pastor Bill, and they love the worship, and they love listening to the word coming over the radio on a Sunday night at Halava Medium Facility. So there's another group of men that you guys are ministering to as you sit in this building right here, right now, as a church, making a difference for that community, that gospel community that desperately needs our prayers and needs men and women to care about the men in Halava. So, hey guys, how you doing over there in Halava? Anyway, we love you guys. I think I need to get a haircut again, man. It's starting to look like a hippie again. No. I've been given a hard. Everybody down at North Shore Christian Fellowship was telling me, "Well, we haven't seen you that you're shaving your head now." And I told the guys that, you know, that are kind of going sparse up there, "Hey, you know what? Give it up, man. Go all the way. Get your razor out and start shaving, all right? Because there's three things. Now, this has nothing to do with this message. So I'm chasing a white rabbit, and this is the way it's going to go for you guys tonight. Sorry. But there's three things that I can never be accused of. One is that I put the shampoo or conditioner someplace, all right? Because I never use those things. Two, that I had anything to do with the brush missing, all right? There's just no way. I don't even worry about it. When they say the brush is missing, I go, not me. Don't worry about it. And three, if you ever find a hair on your food and I'm sitting next to you, it's not mine. Okay? Anyway, C.S. Lewis stated this: Christianity, if false, is of no importance. And what he means by that, if Jesus has not resurrected from the dead, then Christianity is a waste of time. This is a social club, and why are you wasting your Sunday night over here when you could be off golfing, watching TV, or doing something else? If Christianity is false, it's of no importance. And if Christianity is true, it's of infinite importance. In fact, what he means by that is it's the ultimate, most important thing there is in the world. And the reason he says that is because, and we know what Paul says. Paul says that we're to be the most pitied of all if Christ is not raised from the dead. But then he says, Christ has raised from the dead. And he says, in fact, if you don't believe me, there's 500 who saw him resurrected. Go talk to some of them. And so we see out of objective history the truth of Christianity, that this Jesus, this one we love and this one that we know, he truly walked the earth, truly did miracles, truly showed himself to be the Messiah that had been foretold all along through the Old Testament. And then he truly died as a man on the cross, taking the full penalty and the full bearing of our sins so that we could be forgiven. And then glorious news of the ultimate and most important infinite thing that you can know today. You can walk out of here if you forget everything I said tonight about the gospel community. Here's the one thing you need to know, gospel community, is that Jesus has risen. And there is no more important thing that you could tell the world than that, to bring them Jesus Christ. And then C.S. says this. So he says that Christianity, if false, is of no importance, and if true, of infinite importance. The only thing it cannot be, and I want you to hear me, and I know you're listening. So my wife says, why do you say listen to me when you're already listening to you? So you're already listening to me, so I'm going to say this anyway. Listen to me. The only thing that Christianity cannot be and never be is moderately important. I love that saying. I love what C.S. Lewis reminds me of. Because you know what? If Christianity is false, why am I preaching? What am I doing? What's wrong with me? I'm an idiot. But you know what? Because it is true. It's the most ultimate. It's the most infinite of importance. It's the most important thing that I know. It's the most important thing that I can give out in my knowledge and all the learning that I've done and all these things that I'm doing. It's the most important thing that I can give to somebody. People will tell me, well, I just got saved. I have nothing to offer them. Yes, you do. You have everything of the most important thing to offer them, that Jesus Christ died for your sins and he rose from the dead. But let's get this right, gospel community. Let's get this right, church. Let's get this right, Calvary Chapel, Komamai, Honolulu. Let's get this right. It can never be only moderately important. Don't let it be that you stand in the middle and just go, well, it really doesn't mean that much. Or, you know, I can get excited about it for a moment. You know what? It can never be that. It has to be what we, when we look at this thing and we talk about gospel community, we talk about who we are as a church and who we are as Christians, it has to be. It must be in your life and in mine the most infinite of importance in how we live our lives. Can I get an amen on that? All right, you guys, because you guys can get Pentecostal on me. If you want to start standing up and running around, that's fine. Okay, so what is a gospel community? Gospel means good news. But I want to kind of fill that out a little bit for you, because that's what you hear. When you hear gospel, you say good news, okay. And of course, that good news implies a lot of stuff. But in Webster's, Daniel Webster's 1828 dictionary, this is what it states about the gospel. You go up, you look, if you get a Daniel Webster's 1828 dictionary, which I have at home, it's not original, it's been reprinted, obviously, but it states this about the gospel. The gospel, it is history, it is relationship, it is narration, it is the word, it is speech, that which is uttered, announced, sent, or communicated, answering to a good or joyful message. It is the history of the birth, life, actions, death, resurrection, ascension, and doctrines of Jesus Christ. It is a revelation of the grace of God to fallen man through a mediator, including the character, actions, and doctrines of Christ, with the whole scheme of salvation as revealed by Christ and his apostles. This is the good news of God. Is that good news? How do you like that definition? Do you think you'll find that in the Webster's today? I don't think so. But that's an amazing, and what it does is it gives you exactly what gospel is. Now I want you to think about that, because God would call you his gospel community. You're a local church. We're a local church. We are churches together. But we are a part of this good news of God to give to people. And it is the gospel that we're about. But what about community? Well, community means a society, and I love this, a society of people having common rights, privileges, and common interests. A society, not just a group, not just a club, but a whole society of people that are what? Bent on one thing, on serving and loving Jesus Christ. So a gospel community is a society that has the good news of Christ and needs to announce and communicate this joyful message to those who are around. To those who are around. Matthew 28, 18, 20, the Great Commission, you know it. You know, go into the whole world. Well, listen. Who's around? What's around mean to you? When God says, go and share his good news to somebody who's around, what does that mean? Huh? In the immediate area? Everybody in the immediate area? Anybody else? The person right in front of you? The person right next to you? The person that you see in the grocery store? The person that's at your school? The person that's at your workplace? The person that lives right next door to you that maybe you haven't talked to in years, your neighbor? You know? Am I getting convicted? Yeah, I am. I'm just thinking about my neighbor right now. I just talked to him not too long ago. But, you know, the thing is what a gospel community does and what the message is and what it really means is Matthew 28, 18. And, you know, you guys have Danny Lehman here. So do I have to do a mission message for you? Do I have to tell you about evangelism? No, that guy, he's running around I'm like, oh, you know, let's go share with somebody around. Yeah, that's a great idea. Around. I like that. You know, the truth is that's exactly what Jesus said. When he said go, he didn't mean that we had to go all the way to Africa or go all the way to Mexico or go all the way to Indonesia, which, by the way, we have teams from our church that do that. And you guys do too. The Philippines and some other places I know that you minister to. And those are great things. But you know what? We have a community right out here that needs this gospel community, along with our gospel community, along with the gospel community being all together and looking at the bigger picture of things of Christ, to go out and share that good news of God that we talked about. You with me on this? Amen. And so this is God's plan. You know what? And you guys are here on a Sunday night, so I am preaching to the choir right now. I am, because you guys are here on a Sunday night. Most, you know, when the Sunday night church guys, they're the guys that, you know, well, man, I'm into what God's doing right now. I want to be part of what hearing his word. So you guys are the choir, but I'm going to continue to preach, okay? I'm going to keep giving you this gospel community plan of God's for a moment. We see his plan starting in Matthew 16, 17, 19, where Jesus says, you know, where Peter talks about, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. He has this great confession of faith. And, you know, and Jesus says, upon this rock, Peter, I will build my church. Well, Jesus is the one who builds the church, and he is. Now, don't be shocked, Calvary Chapel. But I got to tell you, Chuck Smith is not senior pastor. And neither is Bill Stonebreaker. And neither is Alan Lee. And neither is any of those Calvary Chapel guys that have senior pastor in front of their name. They're really not the senior pastor. Are you with me on this? Now, you guys are going to go and you're going to tell Bill, you better never have that guy come back and speak because he said you're not the senior pastor. But I know that Bill will agree with me on this, and I know Chuck will too, that the only senior pastor that we really have is Jesus Christ. And all us other guys, we're just under-shepherds. We're under-rowers, and we're kind of hanging out. And we're saying, thank you, Jesus, for allowing us to do and be privileged to be in this position in your church. In your gospel community. But Jesus Christ is, and Peter talks about it, he says, he is the chief shepherd. He is the senior pastor of the gospel community. He is the senior pastor of Calvary Chapel, Komomai/Honolulu. He is. And I know that Bill and the elders and the leaders of the church, and I know all of you are praying, and when you see that, and you look at this gospel community, this local body right here, and you look at what God's doing, you realize and know fully, without a doubt, that without Christ, this is just a dead work, and it's not anything to be involved in. Without Jesus as the head, why bother? Because without the head, the body dies. And you could do a lot of things, and let me tell you, you know what, in America, if you go to the third world, you'll see with what little resources they have, how they worship God. And in America, you can actually worship God without having God around. Does that make, that sounds really stupid. But we have all these resources, you know, and this building is wonderful. I love this building, so don't get me wrong. And I think it's a great thing that God's doing right here. But you know what? This is not the church. This is not the gospel community. This is not the church. You are the church. And so when you come here on a Sunday morning and you come to worship God, here's the deal. Do you know that you understand the glory isn't manifested because this building is so nice? The glory is manifested with you guys as a church because you've shown up to worship Him. And His glory will be manifested in His people. Because the Shekinah glory is right there. The Holy Spirit, as He indwells you, and you come and you go and do your things, you don't come. We always say we're going to church, right? How many of you say that? I'm going to church. I mean, I say that. You know, what'd you do? Well, I went to church. Well, how can that be? Because I'm the church, and you're the church. So, unless I went over to saw Gary, you know, went over to and visit him, I guess I could say I'm going to church to go, and I could go visit Gary and say, hey, I'm going to church. But when you think about it, you come to the building, but you are the church. And so you come, the church comes, and then the church goes. You're never going to the church. You are the church coming and going. And you're doing this as His, because He's the chief shepherd and the true senior pastor of every church that loves God. And you're making the difference. This is how, when we see this, this is that Matthew 28 thing that we're doing as His gospel community. Now let us look at His purpose for this community. And that's in Hebrews. You're probably saying, is this guy a Calvary Chapel pastor? He hasn't even told us to open the Bible yet. What's wrong with him, man? Hey, what time am I supposed to start? Stop anyway. What'd you say, 9 o'clock? Oh, okay, great, man. No. What's that? When I'm done? Okay. Wow. You don't do that kind of thing with a pastor, man. Anyway, so let's go to Hebrews. And you guys know the scripture, Hebrews chapter 10. And you know what? When I'm saying this about being the purpose for this gospel community, and when I talk about gospel community, what is a gospel community? I'm really talking about this idea of the bigger picture. Again, that you may be a local body right here, and we have a local body there in Waiwa, and there's a lot of different local bodies that are around that area and in this area too. And following Jesus Christ, loving Jesus Christ, it connects us up. Our affiliation isn't because that I've signed Calvary Chapel papers and I've done the Calvary Chapel work and I believe in the distinctives or whatever, and that's how I'm affiliated with you guys. That's not even it. My affiliation comes through the blood of Jesus Christ, that we are all servants and His saints together doing His work. That's the affiliation. And hopefully I that you would see that big picture, because it means you can break through any kind of denominational or anything that would try to hold you from worshiping and being with other Christians. Now, I believe that we should be involved in a local body. Don't misunderstand me. If you're involved here, get involved, be involved, go at it full bore, go fully, all the way, right here for God, and wherever you're at, you're connected to this local body. That's great. But don't ever, please, not understand that there's a whole bunch of other Christians out there doing a great work for God, and they may not be called Calvary Chapel. They may be the New Hopes or the Hope Chapels or the Baptists or whoever they may be. It doesn't really matter. Because you know what? Serving God, we're serving God together. We're going to be in heaven together, worshiping together. We need to see that. Amen? But here's the deal. In chapter 10, verse 19 through 25, it says this. Since therefore, brethren, we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus. Okay, talking specifically now here, this new relationship, this new covenant that we have with Christ because of what He's done on the cross, by a new and living way, which He inaugurated for us through the veil, that is His flesh. When He died on the cross, we know that the veil was cut right in half from top to bottom. God opening up the Holy of Holies, now saying you are welcome to enter in when you come to Jesus. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. This idea again of what is the purpose for this gospel community? Well, here's one of them right here as you look at it. One of the purposes that we have. Now I'm talking about this purpose that we have right here connected and looking out the overall gospel community. Because the main purpose of the church, besides to worship and give God glory, is to go out and share His love and His grace to see many others come into His kingdom. Amen? That is the main purpose of the church. The main purpose is to worship Him and then to go out and share. But after this, right here, as we look at Hebrews right here, I think part of this is that we, as the gospel community, we as local churches, and we as a body of believers, understand that we together need to draw near with a sincere heart, with a pure heart, with one that is seeking God. Notice, in full assurance of faith. Now, I think that you say, well, how do we do that? I think tonight, when it's Jason, right? Who's your worship leader? Was it Jason? Huh? Is that his name? Jason? Okay. When he was leading worship with the group here, I felt, you know, I don't know about you, but I felt the presence of God in this place. The Holy Spirit was obviously here, and I felt that as I was worshiping Him, I was sincerely drawing near to God. And you know what? I think many of you were in the same position as I was, and that's a sincere way of worshiping, but doing exactly what this Hebrew writer says, that we draw near together with Him because having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water, this idea of the Holy Spirit, that living water that comes from Christ. And then in verse 23, he says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. Let us hold fast. Let us stand firm in what? Our confession. And what is our confession? What do you think our confession is? Didn't you guys know this is an interactive Bible study? You're not allowed to just sit there. You got to start, okay. What do you think is our confession? Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Amen, brother. Amen. Jesus Christ is Lord. And that is our confession. And of our hope. And what's our hope? That Jesus came, died, rose again, went, ascended into heaven, and He's coming back. You see, and when He comes back, He's coming to get His gospel community. How do you know that? Well, all you got to do is look in Scripture. Because there's the rapture Scriptures always say, in Christ, believers. Isn't that interesting? You look, you never find that in the tribulation verses. You never find it, believers or in Christ, in the tribulation verses. But in the rapture verses, you find believers in Christ. Jesus is coming back for His church. The rapture is a very real doctrine that I hold to and believe very much so, that it's going to be pre-trib and pre-mill, and we're going to be there with Him. He's going to call us home. But here's, we hold fast to that confession, Christ, and our hope, which is in Christ. By the way, and I know, I understand it when I hear some guys that will talk about the church is the hope of the world and you know, blah, blah, blah. I understand that. I really do. I know where they're coming from. But I want to tell you, Jesus Christ is the hope of the world, okay? And because Jesus Christ is the head of the church, because of that, we can be the hope of the world only in the sense that as we follow Christ and share Christ and show Christ, people can come to Him. People can come to church and they can go to hell. Is that weird? People can come to church and then go to hell. And I don't mean to tell them to go to hell, but I'm just saying they can go to hell. They can sit in a church service. They can be part of a church. There's lots of churches that don't even pronounce or don't even talk about Jesus. We need to understand. You guys, we are blessed to have come under this in the fellowship of the saints where the Word of God is preached. And the Holy Spirit is allowed freedom to move in a heart. And so we have this confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. It's God who promised. And the gospel community, the purpose of the gospel community is to do this. Now listen, in verse 24, let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. There is a key purpose for this church. And it's not to sustain this building, and it's not to run a school, and it's not to do any of those things. It's to preach Jesus. And when you guys are together, when the saints are together, and when the congregation is here, it is to stimulate. And even when you're outside of this area and you're not in the building and you meet each other, outside on the streets, or you're around and you're going to people's houses or whatever, it is to stimulate, encourage, exhort each other to love, which is God's love, His agape love. If that's what the word is there. It's an unconditional love, that we'd really learn how to love and exhort each other and encourage each other to really love one another instead of finding fault or being critical of each other, which is so easy to do in the body of Christ. It's so easy to find fault. I mean, you can look at me and you can check out my life and you can find so much fault. And yet the brothers and sisters who love me, the ones who that will help me draw near with a sincere heart, they can overlook those things, or they can pray over those things even, and encourage me to just keep pressing on. Keep drawing close. Keep moving to Christ. And they love me because they pray for me. And I ask you this, do you love somebody enough that you're praying for them? Are you praying for people? Because that's a good deed in the sight of God. And He says, stimulate, that we would stimulate each other to do these good works that God has set before us as we work out our salvation in fear and trembling. It talks about that God has good works set up for us. Do we encourage and stimulate each other to do these good works? To be involved in outreach, to be involved in the things of God right here in this church, but also wherever you may be as His gospel community. And then He says this, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. All the more as you see the day drawing near. Not forsaking our own assembling together. You know, there's a lot of different ways to have this gospel community. You know, in a big church building like this, a nice sanctuary, and then you got the schools over there. There's a little area, I mean, a little, you know, complex, if you want to call it that, or of Calvary Chapel, Honolulu. It's really a kind of a peaceful place to come to. I always have a real peace when I come here. I can pull out my word study here, no problem. You know, and so that's one way. There's other churches, other local bodies like us who meet in the schools. We have an office over in Waiwa, you know, and we come together and meet there, and we have an office. But there's others who meet in houses. There's nothing wrong with them. You know what? There's a big knock on house churches, but there's nothing wrong with a house church. If it really is a church, if it really does have, you know, leadership and elders and pastors, and there's really a congregation where they're meeting together, worshiping God and caring for each other and stirring each other up and moving each other up to really go forward with God. And then there's this thing that's called home church. And if you read Barna and Viola and some of these other guys, and I've read them, and you'll find that they have a real, it almost seems like an anger or a bitterness towards what they call institutional church. And they just say, well, you know, people should just stay at home and just worship that way. And they should just have their families get together and they have their little devotions on a Sunday morning and pray. And they call that church. But that's not what the Bible says here. That's just a family doing what it should do. Get together and worship God together. That's great. But that's not a church. That's part of the church. It's part of what functions as a church, but families coming together in the gospel community sense, they make up a church, a local body. And how are you going to actually stir somebody up or stimulate others to love and good deeds if it's only you're only working within your family, when there's other believers and others around who need you and I and each other to care for each other's souls? Do you guys know that you guys are soul carers? Can I say that? Is that a word? Soul carers? That you care for people's souls? When you come into this place, you know, that there's, you know, when you look at it and understand what that really means, that you are caring about somebody's soul and how you pray for them, how you care for them as an individual and as part of the body of Christ, and how you encourage and exhort them to follow God. That's caring for their soul. That's being like the chief shepherd. That's like being like the senior pastor who says, I care for all the souls because I died for them. For I stretched out my arms so the whole world could know that any, whoever, whosoever believeth, not the predestined ones or the elect, but whosoever will believe will have eternal life. And that's the purpose of the gospel community. But what about the intent that God has for the gospel community? Well, let me just read a little study that I did in Ephesians when I first started. We first started a church in Waiawa. We went through Ephesians, and the first couple chapters, or actually the whole book, is amazing. But God's intent was never for us to be solitary or to be those lone Christians, lone wolf Christians or whatever, just on our own, not concerned about anybody else, and not really concerned if anybody else is concerned about us. That was never God's intent. He never wanted, our Christianity was never to be solitary. Now, there's nothing wrong with having solitary times or solitude times with God or being alone with God. There's nothing wrong with that. In fact, we should all do that. But this not forsaking the assembly together is actually really, it's one of his purposes, but it's also his intent that we would see the bigger picture, the bigger thing that God is doing in the world. And so we need to understand his intent for the gospel community. Now, his intent is that, and I got this out of Ephesians, is that we were once dead but now alive. That we are seated and sealed in heavenly places because of him. We are his workmanship or piece of art that he's not finished with. Isn't it wonderful that God's not finished with you and never gets tired of working with you? He never gives up on you. God will never give up on anybody in this room, even when you have given up on him, he will not give up on you. He will send somebody into your life. He will bring a situation into your heart. He'll do something there to let you know, I'm still around. I still absolutely love you, and I still absolutely want you to be part of my kingdom work, what I'm doing here on earth. Don't think that I have given up. And so his intent is that we are his piece of art that he keeps working on. And his intent for this gospel community is that we are near to him. Every wall is broken down. He is our peace. We are, as his gospel community, family members. We are, as his gospel community, citizens of heaven. We belong in his household. He's got couches for me and Tao to lay down on. All right? When we get there, there's going to be a nice, comfortable couch to lay on. Do you believe that? How come no one's laughing? You guys are, oh, come on, man. Aren't you looking for that? God's, couch man to lay on? I am. I want to see one of those things, man. Anyway, you're going to say, Bill, that guy's got some weird doctrine. But we belong in his household. We're not his furniture. We're his piece of art. We're his artwork in his household. Do you know that? He looks forward to, Jesus said, I'm going away. When he was talking to his disciples, in the Lord, right at the time of the Lord's Supper, in chapter 14, I'm going away. He says, don't be troubled. Don't let your hearts be troubled. I'm going away. But since I'm going away, I'm preparing a place for you. And because I'm doing it, I'm going to come back to receive you to myself. And there you will be with me forever. That's a lot different than going through the tribulation. By the way, that is a rapture verse, if you ever read it and really understand it. He's saying, hey, he's come back. He's going to take his church out. He's going to take his family out. And we're going to be with him, and then we're going to come back with him, and then we're going to be with him forever. And we are fitted into his living temple where he dwells. We are his stewards of grace. We have free access to him. To the Old Testament Jew, to hear that would have been an amazing idea, this thing that you could just come right into the Holy of Holies, because only the high priest was allowed in the Holy of Holies, only once a year, the Day of Atonement, and he would go in and out to clean it and stuff like that, and to put sack and do the blood offering of the blood there. But he was the only one that was allowed. No other person was allowed into the Holy of Holies. But that veil is shed, that cut by Jesus Christ. We have that opportunity to be in the Holy of Holies with God every single day. We have access free access that God has given to us. And here's what we are, and I want to just read these. These are all the things that came out of chapter 1 of Ephesians. I want to read this to you. We are chosen. We are holy and blameless. Now, this is God's intention, you guys. This is God's intention, His intent for His gospel community. We are chosen. We are holy and blameless. We are predestined. We are adopted. We have grace. We are accepted. We are redeemed. We are forgiven. We have His riches of grace towards us. We have His will made known to us. We are gathered together with Him. We have obtained an inheritance, and we are His inheritance. He is ours, and we are His. We have praise of His glory. That means that our tongues and our lives are a form of worship to God, that we praise Him for His glory and for who He is. And that is the manifest glory of God in our own lives. And let me tell you, if you come to church, there I said it. If you church come here, I'm always going to say that. If you church come here, and you're kind of, I'm not sure how I feel about today. I got to be here, you know, I got to show make face or whatever. You're not understanding the glory. I'm going to be like Gail Irwin, where he always says, the power of God. Well, the glory of God. As you really worship Him and allow your heart to be broken and tugged and drawn to Him, the glory just falls down. I mean, unbelievers come in and they see this reality of true worship, of you really loving God, and no matter where they may come from in their mind or their heart, it does something there to see that God, that these people really love God. And we are given the word of truth. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit. We are God's own possession. We are His body, the fullness of Him. That is God's intention for the gospel community. And it's more than just this local body or our local body, but it's the whole slew of different churches, different people. From the Pentecostal to the fundamentalist, you know, and I've been in churches where it was so stiff. Where I went to one church when I first got saved, I had this bizarre looking shirt on, and it had all these, you know, like different kinds of designs on everything. And because I walked into this kind of Southern Baptist church and it was in the South, they had a tie for me. They said, "Oh, excuse me, you can't come in here without a tie." And I went, "What? Oh, okay." You know, but I still enjoyed the worship there, but it was just kind of interesting that it was, you know, and then I've been to Pentecostal church where there's rolling in the aisles and they're running around, and I'm going, what's going on here? It feels kind of crazy. I'm not sure I like this, but you know what? I knew a lot of those people loved Jesus. And by the way, if you ever go to Malawi in Africa, you're going to have to dance. You know, they weren't, now it's not crazy, but it's just, you dance, okay? I mean, and I'm not much of a dancer, so I'm just kind of do these kind of like, oh, wow. And they love that. You know, the kids love it too, you know. But, you know, that when you think about it, there's a whole different kind of groups that we are. But we're all one in Christ. And that's what God, I think in these end times, I think in these last days, I think we need to start drawing closer and more aware of what God's doing in the bigger picture than only looking at one little thing that we're doing. I really want to encourage you that way. You know, and as far as Calvaries go, I can go to any Calvary and really just enjoy the worship and the fellowship. I feel an affinity. It's kind of the same tribal group. Okay, we're of the same, Danny says, we're of the same tribes. I like that. That's what kind of we are. But God's intention, I'm going to tell you right now, straight up, was never, ever, 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 ever that we would be solitary Christians. That we would somehow think we are disconnected from His community and His good news and that we got it all to ourselves. That is not it. It's that we need each other. We need to function like that. We need to hold to that. And we'll see God do the work. In fact, if you turn to Romans chapter 12 with me, and we'll look real quickly at this, and then I've got four gospel community questions for you that I want you to consider and think about. Because I know I must be getting close to the time, right? Do you guys stop at 7:30? Okay. So in chapter 12 of Romans, you guys know this chapter, he talks about being living sacrifices. He talks about, you know, this is the true, this is true worship, by the way. This is a true service of worship, is that you'll be a living sacrifice, that you will actually put yourself before God and say, use me, Lord. You know, God doesn't care about your ability so much, as because by the way, he gave you your ability. He cares about your availability. You know, that's a old pastor's preacher thing, you know. He doesn't care about your ability, he cares about your availability. But it's the truth. It's an old cliche, but it's absolutely true. And when you think about it, God did give you your ability. So what can you do to offer him? How can you say, well, here's my ability? No, God says, no, I want your availability. I want you to be available for how I want to use you, because I'm a supernatural God and I want to do supernatural things. Are you available for that? Or are you only available when football's not on? Or, you know, whatever, the family's got this going on or got that going on. Is that your availability, or is it that you're available? Can God interrupt what you're doing in your day to use you to minister in a supernatural way to somebody? Because that's what he wants to do. And so in Romans, he says this, verse 3, chapter 12, verse 3, for through the grace given to me, I say to every man among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment. God has allotted to each a measure of faith. God has given to each one. Some will have more faith than others, but God has given the measure of faith. And he wants us to not look at other people and somehow esteem ourselves higher. I got more faith than that guy. I'm a better witness than that guy. I'm doing this and that, and that guy's not. That's not what, you know, Paul's saying, no. Don't think so highly of yourself. In fact, think of all the grace that's been given to you, that you have this ability that God's given to you, so that you will not have unsound judgment, but sound judgment towards your brothers and sisters, who some will be weaker and some will be stronger, and they all need your prayer. And they all need you to be a loving brother or sister who will show them Jesus. I know I need that. I need you guys desperately in my life to encourage me and to keep me pressing forward with Christ. For just as we have many members in verse 4 in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. We are together. Even though there's many, we're one, and yet we all are of each other. And then he says, and since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, then he goes down a whole list of gifts, some of the gifts, and he talks about exercising, maintaining this exercise, practicing them, be involved in what God is doing with those gifts. And then he says in verse 9, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. That is being excellent unto the Lord. You can do a lot of excellent things for the Lord, but if you want to be excellent to the Lord, then here's what you do. You abhor what is evil and you cling to what is good. Let your love, Christian, gospel community, be without hypocrisy. So if another church, another local body has a revival and people are getting saved left and right, instead of you being jealous and you finding fault with how they may be doing it, you start praising God and saying, keep bringing people into your kingdom. And how can I be involved to help strengthen those believers in your kingdom? Let my love be without hypocrisy. And this is a challenge to me. This is what God has challenged with me in his word, that I would not be jealous or envious of other men's ministries, but instead, like, I wouldn't say, well, Bill's got this nice church building over here. I wish I had that, man. How come he's got all these, you know, look at all the things they're doing over here, man, you know. Air conditioning. Were you here when it broke? Man, that was a bummer, you know. There's a lot of headaches to having a complex like this, too, believe me. But you do it for the glory of God. So let's not be jealous, but let's rejoice. Let's really be, you know, loving the good that we see around us when other brothers and sisters are just serving Christ and making a difference for his kingdom. Here's four gospel community questions, and then we'll finish. Number one is, who are you fellowshipping with? Who are you assembling with? To whom do you belong? You know, are you going from one local body to the next? And, well, it's all the gospel community. No, God says, hey, you know what? I want you in this one right here because they really need your gifting. They need you not only to make face, they need your body and your soul and everything about you and being involved in them to help them grow, to be fitted with them and with the work I'm doing with them. Who do you belong to? Doesn't mean you can't work with other churches and be involved in their works or whatever. That's not what we're saying. But you know what? There needs to be a local body that you're connected to, that you have people that pray for you, and you pray for them, and they hold you accountable, and you hold them accountable, and they know your name, and you know their name, and you enjoy worshiping with them, and it's a basic thing. And if you can't be there every Sunday, okay. If you can't be there at the Bible studies, okay, once in a while, that's fine. But how, somehow connect up with that local body. Who are you feeling? If it's Calvary Chapel, Como Mai, then you know what? Get involved completely and utterly in this church. Because you are the church. And this thing with it's more than just a Sunday morning, Sunday evening thing. This is a whole thing that God's doing with this work right here to reach not only in Aiea, but all over the communities, I believe, all over the island of Oahu. Because I think that's how God ministers with you guys. Number two, how are you building up the body? How are you specifically, not anybody else, but how are you helping edify and build up this local church and the gospel community at large? How are you involved in God's work to build up His body, to edify and to bring people to Jesus, to enjoy fellowship, and to encourage one another? And number three, when was the last time you really encouraged someone in the Lord? Not when was the last time you were encouraged in the Lord. When was the last time that you specifically, Christian, gospel community, Calvary Chapel, Como Mai, when was the last time you, God used you specifically to encourage somebody? Not just to encourage them, but in the Lord. To make sure that Jesus, that sweet fragrance and aroma of Christ to another Christian, which is life, a fragrance of life. It's like when they left the room, they were going, wow, what was that sweet smell? Wow. You know, because I've left the room before and they go, man, I'm glad he's gone. It sure smelled bad in here when he was here. You know, and those are times when I really regret and say, Lord, don't let me do that. Don't let me be like that. Don't let me be critical of somebody. Don't let me gossip and say something that, you know, that shouldn't come from my lips and it's like a poison. And it leaves people just kind of feeling a little weird and, oh. When was the last time you built up somebody in the Lord Jesus? And now the last question. Do you have a friend or friends that love you enough to tell the truth? Will you receive it? And if not, whom do you trust, or who do you trust enough to get it from? To go to and say, you know what? Tell me the truth. How am I doing? How am I doing? And are you that friend? Will you be that friend that's willing to talk to another person, a brother or sister that you love, and say, hey, I see this in your life. But if they come back and say, well, I see this in your life, would you be willing to receive it? It's not a tit for a tat thing, but it's more or less, are we willing to really encourage each other in truth, speak the truth in love? Not offensively, not where you make somebody, you know, you bring them down or you put them down, but actually this is talking about you do it in love. And if it's a wound, it's a wound that can be received because it's going to encourage somebody to grow in the Lord. And I've had friends like that, and I need them in my life. When they say, hey, and my wife has been really a big one in this. And of course, with your wife, as you men know, it's like you go, man, okay. Oh, yeah, woman, come on now, knock it off. You know, and then somebody else will say the exact same thing, you know, like about 15 minutes later, and you go, oh, I guess it was the Lord. So you got to go back and talk to your wife and say, you know, I think you were really right about that. I'm looking at all the married men. No one's laughing here. No one's even smiling. So you guys don't even relate to me, okay? You guys just really listen to your wife. When your wife gives you some kind, some gospel stuff or tells you the truth and you listen, you just listen. You're, man, you guys are doing great. Anyway, so what is the gospel community? It's you and I going out, going around, wherever we're around, sharing the good news. I love this. The good news of God, Jesus Christ. Can't be a greater message, you guys. You can't do it moderately. You can't live the Christian. If you live the Christian life moderately, you're miserable. If you're living as a moderate Christian right now, you know, doing it in moderation, you know, you are miserable. I'm going to tell you, be a fanatic. Be a radical. Follow Jesus. You know, there was an old rock and roll star. I can't remember the rock and roll group, but they asked him a question about religion or moderation. He goes, moderation is for monks. And the first time I heard that, I went, but then I thought about it. I said, you know, that's probably more true than not. Because, you know, you kind of go into a monastery and you kind of go, please, I hope there's no Catholic monks listening right now. But, you know, you kind of go away from people. But God hasn't called most of us to do that. You know, God doesn't want us to be moderate in the fact that there's a heaven and there's a hell. And there'll be some who will be in heaven, there'll be some who will be in hell. And that there are some who are desperate and lost in their lives and they're in despair and they have no way out and you have the answer for them. God doesn't want you to be moderate with them. Now, it may be that you can't speak to them in love because they might not hear from you. But how about your prayer life for the person? If you're only moderately praying for them, then are you really bringing them before the throne? God wants us to go all the way and not be condemned when we fail, but instead realize that we, like anybody else, we have this flesh that we have to deal with, and so we need to be encouraged. That's why we are not forsaking the assembling of one with another. Amen? And so, you guys, I'm going to pray for this gospel community right here, this local church right here that I love, because I love Bill, and I love Calvary Chapel Honolulu, and I always have. I've always enjoyed being around Calvary Chapelites in Honolulu, whatever. Christians, brothers and sisters of the faith, the gospel community that's right here. Let me pray for you. In fact, why don't you stand up and hold hands? And I know they say that men don't like to hold hands, but spiritual men don't ever mind doing it because it's connecting up with the body of Christ. Father, we just come before you and we thank you for this local body here, your gospel community right here. God, and I'm not sure everybody even goes to Calvary Chapel right now, but that doesn't matter. They're here to worship you tonight. We're all connected together because of Jesus. We're affiliated because of Jesus. And so, Lord, I pray for Pastor Bill and the elders and the leaders, and I pray for the congregation, the priesthood of the believers right here. God, the ministers of the gospel right here, that you would bless this church, that you would grace this church, that this gospel community would affect not only this area, but all of Hawaii. God, and that you would raise it up. You would continue to raise up your people, Lord. Encourage them to love, stir each other up, stimulate each other to love and good deeds, that they would enjoy the times they can come together and worship, and they would enjoy and encourage each other to keep pressing forward and sharing Christ. So we thank you right now, and I ask your blessing upon them. In Jesus' name, amen.